Welcome back, everyone, to the Daily Journey Podcast. So glad to have you here. So glad to have you joining me. So glad that you are here on this day with whatever the world holds for us today. I'm not sure about you, but I kind of am waking up every day wondering, boy, how is the world going to flip upside down on this day in its own unique way? It's been hard. It's been a crazy season. It's been a hard season. Continues to be. I love doing these podcasts. Yesterday was our first like kind of live service on Facebook yesterday, and it was so nice to chat with people in that and feel like you were a part of something and that was happening at the same time. I feel like I've been living my life in this weird disconnected bubble, broken only through screens and things like that, but you know, it's feeling different these days. It's feeling like I'm a little more reconnected with folks, and that's been pretty good. But I don't know how you've been doing in that. But these podcasts have been a way for me to feel that connection a little bit more. And so I'm so grateful to get to do them. And I hope you've been enjoying them. If you haven't listened to all of them, we've got like 30-some episodes. You can go on. You can just subscribe to Jamestown Harbor Church in a podcast feed that you listen to. iTunes, whatever it might be. You can also go on our website, jamestownharborchurch.org, and just look for Daily Journey in the sermon section, and you'll find any episode you want to listen to. But today is the John Henry episode. John Henry, gosh, I don't know how long the Henrys have been hanging around at Jamestown Harbor, maybe for about a year or so. But John, you might know, you might see him playing the guitar, playing the bass on the stage. And he works for a company called LiveSpace, and they do like design and installation for audio visual stuff, particularly for lots of events. But you know, we know them through churches and stuff like that. And John's just a good dude. John's got a great heart. He's a smart guy, and man, does he have one of the best quarantine beards I've seen. You obviously aren't get to see that, but maybe you'll hear it. I don't know. Maybe you'll hear it, but. John asked some really tough questions, I think, and it was a fun conversation. So let me quit babbling. We can get right into my conversation with John Henry.
It was difficult at first. So my wife works in education, mm-hmm. at a consultant level for the intermediate school district.
Yeah.
She's continued to work, but from home.
Yeah.
So she has Zoom meetings all day with all these people, all day long. She sits in the bedroom and does that. I've been down here doing my thing. And then we've got the three kids that at the front end of this had school to figure out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was like, what are we doing? so it was a little hectic getting into it. And even the teachers, they don't know what they're doing. This is new to them.
It's new to them too, right?
Yeah. So they finally got onto Google Classroom, like that started happening, and it got better.
Yeah.
And so I'd say the first 4 weeks were pretty stressful because that homework would come in. We're trying to find time to help the kids still work. I'm on a call. You're on a call. What are we doing?
Because how old are your kids?
They are 8, 11, and 13.
So the 13-year-old can kind of figure it out on her own a little bit.
Yep.
But the other two need a little bit more hand-holding, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So we ended up, we got little Chromebooks for each of them, just some cheap ones, and set up with their own machine. Yeah, they needed a computer. That was the thing, too. They like, I need to use your computer, Dad. And I'm like,
I'm working.
I need to use my computer. So anyway, that was good. They're doing pretty good overall. Of course, now it's summer and it's just kind of feels normal to them.
Yeah. Now you can go outside and play with your friends and like, there's, I mean, I went to a doctor's appointment today. I picked up something for lunch and then I called a sporting goods store 'cause there's something I needed there. I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, we're open. You can come in and shop. And I went to a park to do some work this afternoon or this morning. And, you know, just everywhere you look, it's just all normal. Right. And
it looks normal. Yeah. Yeah.
Here's the thing that I've been like, I noticed with somebody today, it's like, we all are on a different kind of pace when it comes to what is my responsibility to my community right now. Right. Mm. So initially we all started off with like, hey, shelter in place, because here's this crazy thing you've never experienced before. And what you choose to do will impact your whole community. Right.
Yeah.
And so we all kind of went, okay, I got to be careful about what I do and how I do it because of what it might do to other people. And then everybody has been on one kind of journey or another to slowly go move from that to, well, I think everybody is kind of responsible for their own choices at the moment, right? Mm. And those of us who felt a little more cavalier with it, like made that turn really quickly, right?
Yeah.
You just kind of jump from like, you know what? Whether I'm sick of it or I don't believe it or it seems like it's fine, I'm just going to move to the spot of like, I think everybody's kind of on their own here. Mm-hmm. And some of us have had a harder time going, I would like to be there, but I still feel that Dutch guilt or whatever it is.
Yeah.
If I make a choice that impacts other people, like I'm still responsible for that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. Like, I don't know about you, but obviously there are some stores that still say you have to wear a face mask. And I'm to the point where if I'm honest, I probably wouldn't, with the exception of I want other people to not feel nervous. So I kind of gauge the situation. I'm like, okay, a lot of people are wearing masks or there's a sign. Yep. I'm wearing a mask and I feel like,
I'm doing it for them. It's not that hard, but I don't.
It's not like, that big of a deal. Yeah.
But either way. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it is. I agree with you. There's people all across the map on that issue. And I think that's going to continue for some time.
I think so too. And I think we're all moving to that. It's kind of this personal choice narrative. I guess it's up to you if you're going to wear a mask or not. Right. And I don't really care one way or the other, cause that's your choice. And, you know, as things are as new as other businesses and areas and other sectors are opening, it becomes, well, you know, kind of, we all got to pick our own lane on this thing. And
exactly. Yeah. And
I certainly like, I mean, for me, it was some numbers data earlier this week that has shown over the last 3 weeks, like Ottawa County cases have plummeted, you know, hugely. And I went, okay, I feel a little more safer now. So I feel a little bit more in the realm of personal choice than I did, say, 2 or 3 weeks ago, where I felt a little bit more of responsibility for everybody around me kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
But I guess in my head, I recognize John's on his own journey with that. Scott's on his own journey with that. Everybody's on their own journey to sort of back to what is mine to do and how do I impact the community around me? And maybe my impact to that community is less now than it was before. And like I said, some people went there after week one and some people are still working on it, you know?
For sure. Yeah. It's wild, man.
Well, let's get into some questions today. I'm wondering what you brought to the table for us to chat about.
Oh man. Okay. Yeah. I got two questions and a couple notes. Great. I guess, let's start with, this one. It might be easier. It might not be. So I have a parenting question.
Oh boy.
The topic here that you and I are both very vested in because, we have kids and, you know, as Christians, we always want to, as Christians, as parents, we want our kids to be successful in every way. And so from the very beginning, we've kind of crafted our parenting style. And I say from the beginning, we've crafted it, but the truth is, I don't know about you, but it kind of molds and shifts and turns. And
isn't parenting just a series of reactions?
It absolutely is. Like I had wasn't thinking about that. So then you,
I didn't know I would have to help you figure this out.
Exactly. Yeah. So specifically though, we've all seen, there's so many different things we could talk about related to parenting. Mm-hmm. But specifically, I'm going to kind of hone in on one thing and let you share about it. So with respect to, I guess, the two extreme parenting styles that I guess we've all seen and everything in between, kind of as it relates to expectations and even control. All right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if we talk about two extreme approaches of parenting, of this one parenting aspect, one extreme approach says, you know, it's my job to fix the kids, control the kids, you know, make sure they're acting perfect, make sure they're doing the best. We're, mm-hmm. you know, super strict. We set the high standards, you know, raise up a child, you know, teach him in the way of the Lord and all that jazz, right? Like, let's really don't spare the rod. There's that,
yeah.
there's that side of things. And we've all seen that. And of course it's sometimes easier to talk about things in extremes because it just is,
yeah, yeah.
It, but you know, we've all seen the parents that are like, and maybe we've all been there at times, if we're honest, it's like you see a stranger or something and you're like, wow, they're really like tough on their kids. That's crazy. Like, that's borderline. Is that borderline abuse? What is happening at home when there's not public around,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
it's just a different level. And then the opposite extreme of like, we've also seen in public, we see parents that have kids and they definitely have a different approach of just like letting kids be kids and discover life and have adventure. And they, you know, they throw a ball through a window. They're not, oh, it's okay, Billy. You know, hey, you know, everything's fine. You know, you had,
yeah.
Did you learn something? Are you having fun doing it? and there's obviously so many in between these two things, but that second approach is very much that kind of, I don't even want to say it's carefree because sometimes it's very intentional and it's this,
yeah.
this
it's
idea
a choice,
of,
right?
It's
yeah.
a choice.
It's not quite laissez-faire because it's a choice I made, but yeah, I get you.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what are your thoughts, I guess, in kind of balancing these two extremes? Where do you kind of see yourself in the midst of that, and how do you pursue that balance?
Yeah, that's a good question. Because I don't, you know, I'm not certainly not on any one of these extremes. I dabble in both extremes. My personality is pretty high control, you know, like I think if left to my own devices, without any consequences, that's the path I would choose, like most often. I think my life experience has taught me that there are consequences to living your life like that, and it's not better, right?
Sure.
So you kind of have this, how do you balance, right? So let me just go at that first, I think. How do I balance those two approaches? I think I can label one approach as like high responsibility. Right. I have a very high responsibility for every single thing my kid does, feels, experiences, says, right? All that kind of stuff. So because I take such responsibility for every one of those things, I work really hard to craft how those outcomes will happen. I don't want my kid screwing up. So I'm going to make sure I tell him all the ways he shouldn't screw up, you know, and I'm very high control around that.
Mm-hmm.
So high control, high responsibility, I think like very challenging, very high challenge, in that the parent you kind of talk about, like I feel them as they challenge their kids to a higher standard of living and acting and being, and often, you know, in the extreme, we would say a standard a child cannot attain.
Like, sure. So, yeah. Yeah.
So you've got the like high responsibility, high challenge. And then on the other side of it, like I hear as you talk about it, it's low responsibility. Like I'm not taking responsibility for your actions. It's you mm-hmm. have to figure the world out on your own. You are responsible for your own actions kind of thing. Mm. And so, but that can also translate to low consequence. Like I'm just never going to like give you consequences for things. And so you actually don't learn responsibility. But I feel like that's more like high warmth, high relationship. Not to pit these two things against each other, but
yeah.
But if I work those two spectrums together, on one side of it, you're going to be really low challenge and low responsibility, but really, really high relationship and warmth. And I think we all have relationships that feel like that. If you, it's very cozy, right? That's the word I would use to describe that. It's just really, it's warm, it's cozy. It feels great and doesn't really teach me anything or do anything with me, you know?
Yeah.
Now, if my relationship, like with you and me, like if we had a relationship where it's like, hey, we're nice to each other. We talk about the weather. We never kind of like push any button on anything that matters. That'll be a cozy, warm relationship. And you know what? I'm probably going to like hanging out with you, right? Because every time I go hang out with you, it just feels good.
Yeah.
Now, if I also didn't have any challenge and I also, but I didn't feel warm, it would feel very boring. And I don't even know why we would hang out either. Right.
Right.
But on the other end of that, if every single time I interacted with you, boy, it's just really high challenge. It's really like, mm-hmm. Hey man, bar's up here. Expectations are up here.
Yeah. Right.
You're missing them. You're missing them. You're missing them. That relationship to me would feel very frustrating.
Yeah.
Like I feel frustrated if I'm never measuring up for you.
Yeah. You're constantly in a state of failure.
Yeah. It's really stressful. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So if you think about how we parent and then think about what the relationship feels like as a result of that parenting, we're kind of in this more cozy, no consequence, no challenge versus really high challenge and really stressful. So cozy, stressful, right? But but so I think more about parenting is to say it's more about disciple making. Like, because for me, like the spirituality is at the heart of it, and spirituality is not separate from how you throw a ball or how you interact with your friends in the playground or what you do in school, right? It's character. Like, I'm trying to think about character in my kids. And I realize that the places that I feel most shaping of my character, most shaping of my discipleship in my life, have both of those spectrums in it, right?
Yeah.
I need to feel warmth with you and connection to you. I need to know you love me, man, you know? And when you challenge me out of that love and say, hey man, there's a bar up here. I feel like you're kind of not cutting it. I actually can hear that from you and I love that from you and it makes me a better person. And I think that's what Jesus does, right? Like Jesus is both, I'm not here to condemn you, but also like be holy. Like, that's in both of those things matter.
Mm-hmm. They do. Absolutely.
So I think like that's the challenge as a parent is to say, how do I both give my kids challenge and how do I both give them warmth and love and grace, right? Like great. You can do the grace and truth thing on it, but So I think I see we all are, I don't know what your background is. Like, I don't know how you're parented, how you were parented, but maybe you saw that. I don't know.
Interesting. No, I actually had, I had probably a weird mix because, you know, when I was 3 years old, my parents got divorced and they both got remarried relatively quickly. Yeah. And so I did the whole back and forth, you know, I had it's actually, you know, it's kind of funny, I guess, technically I had one home that was kind of the churchy, the Christian home. We went to church. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
That was my, you know, my dad and stepmom. And then on the other side was my mom who really, really was not into those things at all. Mm-hmm. And stepdad. And so, yeah, I went back and forth and it was very different. The more Christian household was much more strict. Mm-hmm. There was a lot more of that control, the expectation.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot more the stressful environment, right?
Yeah, for sure. And then, just like you said, the warmth side of it, like at the other home when I was there, it was like way less expectation. I mean, a lot more freedom, certainly some expectation.
Right.
Yeah. But it was very much like, I did the whole thing where every other weekend, in the school year, I was with my dad. And then every other weekend I'd visit my mom. And then in the summer I'd go to my mom. I'd stay there. And then every other weekend I'd visit my dad. So it was like, in the summer I had like kind of a whole new life. I had like my summer life. Cause there's a different city too.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Different people.
So I had different people. I had different friends. I had my summer friends, my summer activities. And, you know, even as a pretty young kid, in the summer, like mom and stepdad both went to work every day and I just went and did whatever. I rode my bike. I went, man, as a fifth grader, I went all over town, man. And nobody thought anything weird about it. I think about my kids now. I would never let them do that. Yeah, absolutely not. So anyway, all that to say, I guess the answer is, it was an eclectic mix of both.
Was that like higher accountability kind of structure in the one household? Because it was also like the religious household that did that shape your view of faith in that more strict rule follower, like, kind of way?
Interesting. Maybe not in the way you would think. I had a, it felt pretty strict, and I had a dad stepmom situation, and my dad was pretty passive and the stepmom was pretty, it was one of those, right? The Cinderella story a little bit there.
Good cop, bad cop, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so it was very like, we went to church and I got connected at a young age with my church. And so my faith was kind of more fueled in a good way with the relationships I made with,
from like the faith, you know, community side of it, not your
faith
side of it.
Yeah, probably that's more accurate for sure. Yeah. So then,
were you involved like in youth group and stuff as you got older and things like that?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Yeah. So like I was playing guitar on the worship team in seventh grade, you know?
Ah, sure.
You know, so I got plugged into that side of things pretty quick, and that was kind of my thing. So
if you're a musician and it's like you're gonna look for any place to play music, and if the church is inviting you in there, you're like, great, I'm doing this now. Mm-hmm. And that community and culture, like, it, you know, affects you in a big way, I would imagine, as a seventh grader.
Yeah, for sure.
Interesting. Yeah. So I think at the end of the day, you know, I think the parenting journey is a striving to offer my kids both challenge and like warmth, grace relationship, you know? And I think I personally struggled with this at times. I try to do it a lot less now, but I used to do it a lot more. I mean, I would get so frustrated when my kids would do a thing differently than the way I would do it. Because in my head, I know the right way to do it. And I'm talking about everything of like closing the door behind you to, you know, like how you might mow the lawn or how you might like make your bed or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But like it was, and I still struggle with this too. Like it's very easy for me to like raise the bar of challenge and be like, why are you doing it like this? Do it like this. And I've been really trying hard to learn more about how do I provide enough grace to say there's probably a different way to do it?
Yeah.
That
yeah.
Is because you know what? My job is not to make my kids like me. It's not to make my kids do things the way I want them done and have harmony. You know, like my job is to create a functioning adult. And somebody had this experience. He said this to me about his kids. He had three kids. And this was when I was about to put our kid in kindergarten. And we were like, Christian school, public school. And this is just an example. I'm not coming down on one side or the other of one is better.
Yep. Yep.
But like, I think we have so many of these choices with our kids. Is it this or this? Sports or not, or, you know, whatever, whatever it is. And I just remember him saying like, here's the thing about my kids. Like, I want them to have a faith shaped experience. And so we actually enrolled our kids in a Christian school environment. He said, but I also want them to be challenged in that faith. And so our commitment is once they get to eighth grade, we actually move them to a public school setting.
Wow. Interesting.
Because my kids are, and here's the smartest thing he said. When my kids are grown up, when they have left the house, they're going to be faced with certain challenges.
Yep.
And he's like, and in this area, in their faith. And he's like, they're going to do that poorly. They're going to miss it. They're going to struggle through it because we all do. And he's like, what I want is for them to do that while they're still in my house. So I want to
without a doubt
in front of them on purpose that will challenge them. And, you know, that has shaped my thinking, not just on like, what school do I send my kids to, but more about, am I allowing my kids the opportunities to wrestle with a thing?
For sure. Yeah, that's an interesting discussion on even just, and it's not even just schooling, but just in general, the idea of like sheltering and protecting your kids. Like I don't want my kids to experience some negative things. And when they're grownups, they will. And so like, I want them to be prepared for that.
Do you talk to them about protests and racial injustice and tensions between around police officers and all that kind of stuff? It's like we have and I don't know if I do it really well because they ask questions I don't know how to, I'm not prepared for. And
isn't that so interesting? The kids, man, they really put it into perspective, don't they? Because I don't know about yours, but like, you know, ours. We actually, it was great, you know, Sunday, the discussion on race that y'all facilitated was opened up a good door for some conversation. And, you know, to them, they're just like, we have no idea. Like well, whether that's good or bad, I don't know, but they, they're like, what is happening? What is this? Like this, well, you know, well, this thing happened. So it's a big thing. You know, we talked about the Floyd thing and it's like, it's a big thing and it's very serious and there's a lot of injustice and they're like, you know, but white people die too. Like, yes, but you know, there's all this other history and there, it's such a, and
there's like, well, if some police officers are doing that, why don't they just stop?
Why don't they stop?
Yeah. It's like, well, it's not just about that. Let me like, and then I'm trying to like explain to you systemic
racism
for 250 years. And I'm like, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah. But, and I don't know about you, but like at some level, if I'm honest, I don't fully understand it. I'm trying to explain it to my kids. And I'm like, I feel like, you know, earlier you made a comment about, I think I said two extremes and you said, really, it's more like there's seven. I mean, I feel like that with this too. Yeah. It's like, it's not two positions. I mean, to some people, maybe it is.
Yeah.
There's like 10, 15 different vantage points you come at this thing from. And it's a whole new perspective.
The thing I said to my kid is, I want you to hear just how someone else experiences life that's different from you. Right. And I just want you to see it, you know, like, I showed him a video of like, of black parents talking to their black kids about how to navigate a traffic stop.
Yes.
Right. And what I wanted them to know is like, I've never had that conversation with you and I never have to. And boy, that's what feels like it's not okay. Is that some people have to talk to their kids like this.
Yeah. And that doesn't, because it doesn't make sense. And to a child, especially who's the least tainted of all of us, they're like, why would that even be? They, you know, on one hand, I'm glad that they don't seem to, you know, treat, they've got buddies that are black and are, you know, they're, you know, different from them, not just black, but it's not weird for them. But to hear the stories of, just like you said, it's a different world for some people than it is for you. Yeah. That really sinks in and it's kind of like, gets the wheels going. So it's definitely good. It's
so that's the challenge of it with my kids is to say like, let me just challenge you a little bit with here's how other people live, you know? And just because as a kid, like, especially as a teenager, like you're mostly thinking about the 3 feet radius around you.
Yeah.
If it's not in there, it doesn't exist. Right. So it's like introducing these things into that radius until it expands further and further and further. And hopefully by the time they're, I don't know, 30, they have like an awareness of how they are perceived in the world and how they are interacting with people and their effect on the world and how that world affects them. And so it doesn't do me any good just to not do that because they're going to be faced with it at some point. So I'd rather they do it with me than not.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
But the reason I would not is because I'm afraid of getting it wrong, which I usually do. And the thing I keep saying is, but as long as I keep the bridge open between us, someday they're going to walk back across it and we're going to be able to do this together. Right. And I build that bridge now, not starting when they're 18.
Well, I also think that there's, you know, I'm sure you're aware of this, but the fact, like how you're phrasing this, like, man, I might not even be getting this right. I might be wrong about this, but I'm trying. I think it's actually important. Like our kids trust us to know things, right?
Right.
But I also think it's important that our kids do recognize that even as adults, like there are some things that are difficult to navigate and you just have to like lean in. And I think that when your kids hear you say, I think I'm doing my best and even like, hey, I'm still learning. I'm still growing. Yeah. I think that empowers them to go, okay, I don't have to have this one. Okay, here it is. Here's the solution to racism. And here's my opinion on racism.
Here is the certainty, right?
Yeah, here's the certainty, which unfortunately, every other, you look at social media, you look at just everything else that our kids are being hit with, it is very much like fueled in the sense of like, you need to have an aggressive opinion on everything. And so you're giving them a different voice of like, well, no, hold on. We're figuring this out and there are a lot of different moving pieces to it.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's healthy. It's healthy for kids to see that.
it's healthy. It's like the healthiest thing and the most frustrating thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they're not quite like, even like chemically, your brains are not designed to grasp that kind of abstract thinking at that age. So it's like the minute you're just like trying to live into the, I don't know of it all. They're like, but that doesn't compute with my team, like my child's computer in my head, you know?
Well, if you don't know, then how am I supposed to know?
All right. Well, what else you got? What's your second question today? Thanks for that one.
All right. Yeah, you bet.
So, I don't know if that was the harder one or the easier one.
I don't know either. I guess we'll see. Okay. Well, this other one is kind of, I guess, indirectly related to COVID and just kind of where we are as, I guess, as a nation, as a church, you know, so this is kind of related to our government. All right. So as Christians, we've always been taught to respect and trust our governing authority, right? We're instructed to, you know, trust God and treat leadership, meaning, you know, police, mayor, governor, president, right? Kind of our government officials, we've kind of grown up learning that, like, yeah, you treat leadership as God's appointed leadership, right? But then at the same time, many people right now believe that our government is violating our Constitution with this whole, you know, what's kind of happened with COVID and, you know, no, you can't have your business open. And it's like, what? I'm trying to feed my family, right? There's all these extremes, of course, we could get into. You know, and the thing about it is, like, a lot of people, you know, that are on a position of, and this isn't necessarily me, but I sure see it. Somewhere I'm questioning some things, if I'm honest. Yeah. But people that take the position of, like, our Constitution is being violated, this is where it gets tricky for me because, like, all right, we have government authorities right now who are appointed by God, right? If we're supposed to believe that God's got this under control and he's, you know, he's empowered them and put them in that position to some degree, even though I know we vote. So we have our piece of it as well, but we're supposed to respect them. Well, in the same way, you could say, well, God appointed the leadership long ago that crafted the Constitution, that kind of created, you know, kind of laid down like a pretty specific plan of who we are and where we're going as a nation. And so there's a conflict, right? There's a conflict between, you know, we could say between God's appointed leadership of the past and God's appointed leadership of the present. So as a Christian,
what are we even respond? Doing here, man? I feel like you're walking me to the edge of a cliff and are about to shove me off of it.
Well, I'm not. I think it's a difficult question.
It is.
And I don't think there's an answer. I don't think there's a, like, here it is. I think it's a discussion, and this podcast may not have enough minutes for it. But I see just this thing that we're in the middle of, and it's like you see all the extremes. Obviously, the extremes are the loudest, right?
Yeah.
And usually the truth lies between two extremes. I tend to think that. I believe that, I guess, with most things that I've seen. But, you know, I feel like there's a growing number of people that are like, wait, am I supposed to be, like, outspoken against our government? Wait, or am I supposed to just go with the flow? And I'm kind of just I have my opinions, but I kind of sit back like this and I'm just like, you know, where's this going?
Yeah.
You know, what's happening in 5 years?
I think one great, thank you for giving me the freedom to not have to have an answer, but at least we can talk about it, right? I heard, like, so one specific example of this tension came out of one pastor that I saw. And this was, we're having our first worship service kind of message to his church. And he started that by saying something similar to what you said. He's like, listen, God has told us to respect and listen to those who are in power over us, kind of things. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, you know, they said, stay in your home and don't do these things. And that's why we chose to, you know, close our church or whatever it might be. Right. And then in the same breath, he said, but God also said that we should, I don't remember, it was more along the lines of, like, follow our own conscience. And so, so because of that, we're going to open our thing now. And I'm like, you don't get to do that. Like, that is not how, that's terrible theology. Because what you just said was, God said we can do whatever we want as long as we want to do it.
Yeah.
So I think that is a really, really shallow approach to this kind of like issue. So I think I would challenge a couple, at least one thing in what you said. I think I would be careful with using the language around these leaders are appointed by God, right? Because I think that is a different thing. You know, Samuel didn't come by with a jar of holy oil and look at all of the brothers and said, David, you're the king, right? To every one of these people, right? Like, that didn't happen with the president. That didn't happen with the governor. That didn't happen with the sheriff in your community. So I think there's a big, big difference between this person is appointed and therefore anointed by God. And because that instills in us a reason to think their words, therefore, are God's words to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that feels really extreme to say, but people believe it right now about some of our leaders. They would say,
absolutely,
God has appointed this person, and he or she, therefore, is the voice of God. Because when we do that, we fail to realize these are human people and human roles, and that is inherently flawed, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
And listen, our democracy is built on realizing that that's true. It's why we're not a monarchy. The people who speak the loudest about this is an appointed by God kind of leader are the most anti-American kind of free democracy thinkers that can be, because that's what a monarchy used to be.
Absolutely. Yep. Right? Yeah. 100%.
We started this country because we didn't like that. I think there's a big difference between saying, well, God appointed these people versus God says respect rule and order and the rules of the game and play within them, right?
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, that's bad phrasing. And that is a great point, though, of clarity for people to think of, is that, there's a difference between, like, you know, respecting the authority and treating it as, you know, appointed by God. That's very different.
Yeah.
But can you unpack that a little bit more? So let's talk about just in the terms of what I think is maybe a little more clear, like respect, like you said, right? We're to respect our authority. Is there a point that that gets challenged too?
Sure, of course. There's civil disobedience is like okay in many ways, right? So I would say a couple of things. One is part of, I think, God's heart for us and how we relate to our leaders. And you can look at story after story after story. People who are enslaved by a leader and God still says, do so out of humility and respect, right? There is a work within the system by transforming the system kind of approach, right? And the beauty of the government we live in is we have avenues to disagree with the governor, like with the government and the people in leadership. Simply we can vote. Like there are rules of unseating people who have gotten into power that have abused that power, right? All that, like there are checks and balances in this. Now you can argue about how well those things work in partisan politics in the way we have, and I would go along with that conversation. But at the end of the day, like first and foremost, I think there's a responsibility we have to utilize those systems of checks and balances. I think the question of when, like that's a question of how you respect, I think. Even protesting is a respectful form of upending governments that we don't, or upending laws that we feel are not okay, right?
Yeah.
Because we're governed by the people, for the people, you know, with the people. So it's okay to rise up and call people to these things. You know, I don't think violence is ever the answer in that. And I think 90% of the protesting we're experiencing now would say the same thing, right? That's a little bit of the how. I think the when is the other question, right?
Sure.
I think the rule of leadership that I see in the Bible is it's always, you have a responsibility as a leader to serve the good of the people you lead. It is God's kingdom is an upside down triangle where the CEO is at the bottom and he serves everybody who works for him, right? Mm-hmm. And so if that's our model of leadership, that we see in Jesus Christ, seated at the right hand of God, chose that despite the fact that he was God to come and experience humility for the sake of those he governed, right? Interestingly, we use that word despite the fact that he was human or God, right? And I think it's more very much because he was God, he chose to do those things. So, okay, that's our frame of leadership. Then you can start to ask questions of how well is that leader attempting, even whether they're bad or good at it,
sure,
attempting to serve the good of the most people, you know, yep, that they are leading. And essentially you can mark them over time and go, I guess that's trickier too, because you can say what people and whatever. And
yeah,
you know, yeah, it's a slippery slope. I'm not an overthrow the governor person. Like, I don't know whether or not she's like violated her constitutional rights. I believe that if she did, it was because she's trying to keep people healthy.
You know? Yeah. And I do think there's another side of that too. Like, yeah, you'd mentioned earlier when you were talking about just responding to COVID, when we were chatting, like as a pastor, every day there's these decisions that have to be made and people are demanding answers. Mm-hmm. And then by the time you faction an answer and get it out, there's now new information that is even contradictory. And like, I know that, great example, our governor, like that absolutely is happening. There are things that we don't see.
Yeah.
He's having to deal with all that. And, you know, to a degree that we're not even aware of, I'm sure. So it is a difficult thing to just say, like, you know, 100%, you know, this is concrete. None of us have all the info.
Yeah. To say that a person is trying to like ruin our state or our country, mm-hmm, I think is almost never true. Like, even if they're a terrible leader or someone you don't agree with, like, any nefarious motivations are probably more personal than anything else. They're seeking to enrich themselves off of it or, you know, like make themselves feel better. But, like in this particular situation, it's one thing to say, well, she took some actions that hurt people for the sake of, I think I was trying to help people. And, and then to say, well, there are also consequences to that, fair or not. Like, the actions you chose might have put other sectors of our humanity, our economy, for example, which other things, like, and that's not to say there shouldn't be consequences to a choice you made, right? But and you can disagree with that, but I think the starting point is always, we're talking about a governor too much, which I don't know if I necessarily care that much about, honestly, but
no, me neither. And it's more of a general thing. Yeah. Actually, I'll give you a follow-up that'll maybe help, but I think, like, again, we've talked about extremes a few times here. So I think we would agree that if there are 2 or 6 or 12 extreme positions on something, they're probably a little crazy, right? But I see an increasing number of people, and it's business owners, it's, you know, people that couldn't cut the grass, for example, that, you know, a friend of mine that owns a small business, you know, that, you know, his family really suffered from that. And so obviously his position, he has a little different data than I do.
Yeah, right. Right.
Cause like, I'm working from home.
Those choices hurt me. Right.
Those choices hurt me. And so there's
fair. Good. That's fair to say.
It really is. And there's, you know, and I see, and then you see it just escalate, right? You see like protests at the Capitol, the groups of people that carry guns, which is their right to do that. I have guns and that's fine. But then it just continues, and it can continue on both extremes. But I see so many people having these conversations, and they're saying things. And of course, social media is this just platform to make these claims and say these things. And we got to raise up our militia, and we got to do this and that. And it's like, maybe I'll reframe the question and ask you, like, how do we respond to those situations where, you know, I see some things and I'm like, you know, some of that data is, I don't disagree with all that, but you're acting crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes it's so, it's difficult to navigate. Like, how do I, and we all get in these conversations, right? Everybody says they don't want to talk politics, and then they'll say, but, and then they'll, you know, and so it's like, it's just an interesting thing to navigate, because I don't know about you, but I want to be humble, and I want to learn from other people on even those extremes. And I want to go, okay, why do I think what I think, you know? Yeah, and then, but at the same time, how do I respond to these people?
Well, and I think part of it is like trying to build a common starting point, right? Like if you and me are having, like I might disagree with you about owning guns, for example. Let's just, it's because you said that, let's pick on that for a moment and to say, like if our starting point, if I can find a starting point that's just like, what's the most good for the most people kind of thing, then I can have a different kind of, I can actually learn from you.
Mm.
Right. And you can learn from me in those perspectives and share those. I would say in responding part, I think there's a fallacy in our world right now that says everything requires a response.
Mm.
Like, I'm not sure it does, you know, I'm not sure just because we've given everybody a voice doesn't mean we should have to listen to everybody's voice. Like, no, it definitely doesn't mean we should listen to everybody's voice.
For sure. It doesn't. Yeah.
So like really having a better awareness of our circles of relationship might be the more healthier way to engage this kind of stuff.
Hmm.
To recognize that your social media followers aren't people you actually know and can learn from. And frankly, like typed responses in any form probably are not helpful either.
Yeah.
But to recognize who are the voices, like to actually shrink, well, this is dangerous. Because I'm not advocating for echo chambers either. Like not shrink our perspectives, but shrink the mm-hmm. amount of people we actually listen to and respond to might be.
Yeah, wise. You almost like you look at how Jesus had his, and sorry to say it this way, but inner circle. People can take that term inner circle and have it mean different things.
But you look at that inner circle, and he had people in that inner circle who believed violence was the way to overthrow the Roman government.
Yeah. Right?
They were zealots and he had them with him.
Yeah.
He had people who were working for Roman, collecting their tax collectors, right? He had Jewish fishermen. He had a varied amount of perspectives in there, but right, it was still a smaller circle of people that he walked with daily. So, you know, like you can, again, now move to the racial conversation and say,
mm-hmm.
it's important for us to have people in our lives who have lived life differently than we have.
For sure.
But that doesn't mean I listen to everybody either. So
yeah, that's really good. And I just wonder if like, you know, is some of the issue, some of the challenge, some of the, I don't know, frustration, annoyance with so much of it is tied up in social media. And I feel like I love turning it off and taking a break from it. You know, I don't like read stuff and get, you know, super like frustrated and emotionally invested. I can't believe I sometimes read the comments just because it's like, this is sad, but this is entertaining, man. These people are crazy.
But don't you think that shapes your way of thinking about the world too?
Yeah, it does. But I guess the thing that I think is interesting is like, you talk about inner circles. I couldn't put data to this. I couldn't put a percentage, but you know, compared to 50 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, like a lot of people's inner circle is social media. Mm. I feel like that's this
rather
thing,
than like a relational
almost,
circle.
Yeah. So I almost feel like, you know, that idea of like, these are the humans that I interact with. There are so many humans not doing that. Mm-hmm. And they're absolutely like locked into this. They think they're doing it. And in a sense they are, maybe in a different way. It's a social media way. Right. But that's the thing that's like in front of people or that people choose to put in front of them. Yeah. And I just wonder if that's a piece of it too, that it almost just shapes our opinion of like how we even form opinions.
It's I almost hear you saying like we've abdicated sort of the relational responsibility to this other circle of people that we don't have a full relationship with, right?
Sometimes random strangers.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not saying it's bad to connect with a random stranger either and that sort of thing. But like, those are not fully formed relationships either. Right. They're sound bites. They're just images. They're And so I think that's an interesting point to say that many of us, like, it would be great if our online presence was an extension of our in-person presence. Right. Mm. And in terms of like the people I was connected to online were people I actually had fuller relationships with. But I think it makes a really strong case for why the church is needed now more than ever, right? Because we, like, those are people beyond our immediate friends or family, that we can actually have relationship with, and often will bring varied perspective too, you know? So like, yeah, that's a strong case to say, like, we need to invest, think about where we're investing our relational energies perhaps.
Mm-hmm. It also almost makes a case for the church to like, and I think this kind of happened automatically with COVID. So I think this doesn't need to be argued. Yeah. I don't think anybody argues this, but like even the importance of the church being on social media and being out there, right? Like, yeah. Okay, if a lot of people are, that's, let's just say 70% of their social interaction, which sounds ridiculous, but then when I think about it,
when you do the
it's
math,
really not, maybe
that's true. Yeah.
It might not be that ridiculous, but if that's the case, if 70%, for example, are of some people's social interaction come from that, and their worldviews are being formed, their opinions are being formed, their relationships
by an algorithm
being formed,
like
absolutely by a controlled algorithm.
It's not even by people like that you trust. I mean, I just read this article a couple weeks ago, and like the seniors, I've said this before, but the senior staff at Facebook were troubled because the algorithm they use to present your newsfeed is biased towards conflict, right? Towards bringing people like vastly polar opposite views, hyperbole,
wow.
Because the thing that they measure is how long are you engaged with that screen? And if it promotes conflict, you're going to stay on it longer because it does something to you that drives you towards it and engages you in it. So what they have said is what we are doing is directly promoting conflict in people's lives on purpose for their screen time. And the owners of the company said, we don't care. So they've said, that's fine. We don't want to do anything different. And I'm like, that's a great reason to not be part of that social circle.
Holy smokes. That's
because
wild.
Like they're
that's interesting.
Algorithmically designing you, drawing you into conflict, and instead of reasoned relational like dialogue, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, like, I think you make a great point. Like, maybe the move for many of us is to say, how do we think about our relational influences and where we're putting that energy? Because even in conflict, you should never correct somebody you don't have a relationship with, right?
Look,
A, it won't work. B, it just creates more conflict and wastes your
nothing,
time.
Yeah, nothing good can come from that. Yeah.
But what are we all doing? Getting on our keyboards going, but, you know, or but I don't know if you knew, or just flat out name calling, you know, like, so that thinking about how we manage conflict and how we invest in relationships is probably a better answer to how do we like deal with these kind of things we want to respond to.
For sure. Yep. That's good. That's good.
I mean, that's all just my opinion. So,
yeah.
And I want to follow leaders who I feel like are doing their best for the most amount of people, who are drawing people towards health and unity rather than dividing them or pitting them against each other. Or I can deal with mistakes, man. Like I'm okay if somebody made a leader made a choice to say, I did this because I thought it was going to be the best thing for people. And it had unintended consequences that hurt. I'm like, I can deal with that. And I might even vote you out for that. But it doesn't necessarily mean I think you're evil either, right?
For sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Whether that's a pastor or a governor or a president or anything else. But
sure.
I know lots of leaders who feel like their focus is winning. And the way to get to win right now is to be more divisive, right? It's just like, I'll get more eyes from the algorithm. So, you know, I don't want
to. Sad but true, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think that's how God like designed leadership in the Bible. Like when I see leaders who got in trouble, it's that stuff. King David is one of them, you know, like he's often called to humility and to say, what's the best for the people around me?
Hmm.
I don't know. I'm doing my best, man.
Hey, that's good. I appreciate the insight.
Are these conversations you have with your wife or with your kids?
Oh, no, not necessarily. No, I just was thinking about, all right, what would be interesting? I guess to me, like, a difficult question is worth exploring, right? Yeah. And so to me,
I like that about you, you know, like, yeah. You are, not everybody feels that way. They feel like this is a difficult question or conversation we should not be exploring
yet. Yeah. Yeah. And that's definitely where we're at as a people right now. Right. Like I think we're all realizing, hopefully more and more, that, like, you know, some of these difficult questions, they're, you know, it's easier to say, like, and we probably all do it to some degree.
We have to. There's too many.
We have to compartmentalize and go, like, yeah, I'm not really able to unpack that one emotionally. but we put it in the closet. But I think sometimes it's like, man, there's some good stuff we maybe have to learn by having some of these conversations. It's one of the things I mentioned in an email to you. I appreciate what our church is doing to just, like, let's have some conversation around these difficult things. And yeah. Hey, we're all still learning. There is not an exact, of course, the Bible is the place to go, right? Yeah. But there is not an exact depiction of where we are in with respect to some of these situations. I mean, you could say in some ways there is, but yeah. It feels so much like uncharted territory that we really have to take a deep breath and mm-hmm. and ask ourselves some difficult questions.
Yeah. And honestly, I find myself, like, longing for the difficult questions of old. Right. Like, and by old, I mean 3 months ago, when people sure. were like, I don't know, is it okay to do, like, the Lord's Supper online? That feels like a problem for the Christian community.
Yeah. Right? Let's talk this out. Let's make a Jim Halpert pros and cons list and see. Yeah.
But now where it's like, yeah, I long for the days where there were other conflicts to be had. But at the same time, it's not as if God's not present and not trying to teach us something in there. And I learned stuff, like, doing this is so great for me because, you know, it's within this that I think God speaks and shapes. And ultimately, that's my hope, that people who engage this with are not particularly interested in coming to a podcast to hear about a position, but more hear a dialogue and explore with us too. Sure. So thanks for being on today. I really appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.